entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always said I'd be the chosen one.
Regarding this fitness for office of the president, Americans have been speaking out about the president's mental acuity and the double standards within his Justice Department. On Thursday, as you know, the special counsel confirmed that President Biden mishandled classified materials in a way that presented serious risk to national security. He broke the law, but he's not going to be charged. Why is that? Well, special counsel said that it decided not to indict the president in part because there are significant limitations on his memory, and a jury wouldn't convict him because he would be presented as, quote, an elderly man with a poor memory. That did not inspire confidence among the American people. It's of great concern to us. Ultimately, they're indicting, remember now, the DOJ is indicting one president with politically motivated charges, and they are now carrying the water for another amid very similar allegations. A man too incapable of being held accountable for mishandling classified information is certainly unfit for the Oval Office. And everyone in this room, if you just ask yourself that question, you will come to the same conclusion.
And that was Speaker Mike Johnson addressing members of the press. But when he said everyone in this room, that includes a lot of the state-controlled media. And they probably were sitting back there shaking their head. No. We don't go along with that. We don't think that's right. It was mishandled. It was simply a political ploy. And it was carried out by a prosecutor that had been appointed by Trump years ago. But the other night, when Joe Biden came out, and basically an impromptu conference, after word had come from Robert Hur, the special counsel prosecutor's office, that we're not going to charge him with any crimes. And again, I don't know if Biden himself made that decision, especially that late at night, or if others encouraged him to go out, take a victory lap. And for him to be seen out late as he was is fairly unusual. Could be he, and when I say this, please do not take it in a way that demeans anyone who's battling dementia, because I honestly regret anyone and feel for them dealing with it, or a loved one that they have is going through it. But if they're not on the meds, then there are additional issues. And I'd mentioned the other day, I had talked to some experts in Alzheimer's from time to time, and they have made it very clear that sometimes a person might be just like a wallflower, doing nothing, and then suddenly will explode in anger over who knows what. Maybe they heard something that no one else would have heard. They heard it in their head, whatever. But Joe Biden the other night coming out talking to reporters before it's over with, while he came out to say, I was found not guilty of anything. And let me correct that. I don't recall if he actually used those words, but what he was saying, they decided they were not going to charge me. That's the one side of the sword, as I say, but the other side was the one Republicans are laying against his neck, and even some Democrats. But he's not, because you would be looked at as an incompetent old fool that there's no sense putting you on trial. That's one perspective. We have another big story, of course, that happened yesterday, last night, the House moving forward to impeach Mayorkas. It's going to be the first impeachment we've had since 1876. I'll give you background on the previous one in a moment, but first, setting the stage for you again, here we are, second hour, Larry Connors, USA. We're here for you Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. You can't miss us. And while we're on the air, we're streaming video for you. You can watch. Simply go to Larry Connors USA, Facebook, Twitter, or Rumble. Or you can go to News Talk STL, Facebook, Twitter, Rumble. And then when we're done, everything goes up as a podcast. So if you miss it, you can't watch now. You can't listen to the entire program now. I understand. That's why we make it up, put it up as a podcast later. So then you can go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull it up and watch it, listen to it, or Larry Connors USA Facebook, and numerous other platform, podcast platforms carry us as well. But when Mike Johnson was saying, that did not give us a lot of confidence, I should say, when Robert Herr made his remarks that we just don't think there's any value, nor could we move forward to prosecute a man who's just not capable of defending himself, which everyone immediately jumps to. If he can't defend himself, how can he defend our nation as commander-in-chief? Well, if you look at it right now, he's really not. The Hill is reporting the White House is weighing whether it will release a transcript of Biden's interview. They think maybe it will diffuse concerns about his age. Of course, if they don't severely redact it and change it, it might increase concerns. So the White House is leaving the door open to releasing it once it's declassified. Well, I got to stop and ask there, what's classified in that to begin with? It's not like he's giving away state secrets in that interview. He would not intended to do that. Just asking, how did you handle classified documents in your possession? If he handled them correctly, that's not a classified item. If he mishandled them, that's not a classified item. Sorry, public. Some Biden allies suggest releasing the transcript would be in the president's best interest, at least to counter the most damaging parts in the Herr report. One former White House aide, and again, this is from The Hill publication, it leans left, but has some good reporting in it, said the transcript could, quote, provide a powerful tool to refute the narrative about his age and prove that Herr, the prosecutor, was playing politics with the report. But then again, the White House apparently is not sure what they want to do. In fact, they're quoting and they're using Press Secretary Corinne Jean-Pierre to say, we're discussing and looking at whether to release it. She told reporters, it is not a no. This woman, it is not a no. It is not a yes. It is, we are looking at this. There's processes. There's protocols. They're looking through that. May I correct her English? I just can't put up with that anymore. There are processes. There are protocols. It's what you get when you go get someone for White House press secretary based upon the greatest qualification when they named her, the first black lesbian woman as White House press secretary. Not that she's great in grammar. Not that she really knows how to answer questions and do any more than spit out what she's been told, which she, in one part, that is her job, but can't think for herself. The president's personal attorney said over the weekend, the matter to release the transcripts is up to the government. In other words, I'm out. I'm washing my hands of it. I'm done. The GOP chairs of three congressional panels, House Oversight and Accountability, that'd be James Comer, House Judiciary Chair Jim Jordan, House Ways and Means Chair Jason Smith of Missouri, Congressman, not talking about Senator Schmidt, Jason Smith, all in a letter to Attorney General Garland, asked the Department of Justice to turn over the transcripts and recordings, stating, the Committee on the Judiciary requires these documents for its ongoing oversight of the Department's commitment to impartial justice and its handling of the investigation, and prosecution of Biden's presumptive opponent, Donald J. Trump, in the November 2024 presidential election. Republicans are upset that Herr did not charge Biden. But the other part of the sword they do like using. And to that extent, here comes, riding in with his views, South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham.
Here's what I think a rule should be. If there's credible evidence that a president is physically or mentally compromised, the president owes it to the country to straighten it out and resolve that doubt. So release the tapes of the five-hour interview. The special counsel's summary of the interview was unnerving. Every person in the world who's a bad guy read that. I was never more disturbed about our national security after I read that than any time I can remember. Basically says he did it, but no jury would convict him because they don't think he's competent. So I think President Biden, after this statement by the special counsel, not some political hack, owes it to the country to release the tape and take an exam.
I would not expect that to happen, but not just him taking an exam, but for the tape to be released in full. And if it's released in full, it will be a boring 5 hours for the most part, but those who edit it down will find the parts that work best for their argument. You know that. So last night, the U.S. House voted to do something. U.S. House voting to do something that has not been done since 1876.
Welcome back. Well, the House voting to impeach Department of Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas yesterday. House Republicans announced 11 impeachment managers. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's office announced Mayorkas' impeachment trial will begin this month. Joining me right now is one of those impeachment managers, Virginia Congressman Ben Klein. He's also a member of the House Judiciary, Budget, and Appropriations Committees. Congressman, it's good to see you this morning. Thanks very much for being here. Tell us how this is going to play out in the coming month?
Well, that's going to be up to the Senate in many ways. The timing, the how the trial is conducted, we look forward to presenting the evidence that was accumulated by the Homeland Security Committee to the senators during the trial in whatever form it takes.
Whatever form it takes, is he saying we're setting things in action. He is one of the chairmen, but he's one of many. So he can't give a definitive answer to Maria on that question. The House voted 214 to 213, one vote, to impeach Secretary of Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas, over how he's handling migrants coming across our U.S. border. But you have to keep in mind, it's not really his decision, it's Biden's decision. I can't stress that enough. I don't like Mayorkas, I don't like the way he's handled it, but he's doing his J-O-B as directed by the president. Mealy mouth, just like Merrick Garland, but at the same time, he's doing the job. This was, of course, the Republicans' second attempt to impeach. They lost it last week because they had three GOP defections, and they also didn't have House Majority Leader Steve Scalise with them, so it ended up being a tie vote. Scalise came back and was there to vote last night, and the three who had defected went on with the Democrats, did it again. Colorado Congressman Buck, California Congressman McClintock, and Congressman Gallagher of Wisconsin. So the details in this 22 pages of impeachment accuse Mayorkas of failing to comply with federal law and court rulings around migrant detention, blaming him for a surge in border crossings during the Biden administration. With that in mind, Maria asking the question of Congressman Klein of Virginia, what's the most damaging?
What would you say is the most damning evidence?
Well, the existence of multiple reasons why Alexander Mayorkas has ignored the laws of the United States, is where his policies have essentially undermined the laws Congress has passed on behalf of the American people to secure our border. The way that he has misinterpreted parole, the way that he has ignored detention laws specifically, are going to be presented to the Senate, and the senators aren't going to appreciate that the laws they put in place have been ignored by Mr. Mayorkas.
That's a good point, but you are expecting the Democrats to allow this to die in the Senate, right? You don't think he's going to step down, do you?
It would be better for him if he took his own steps to withdraw, but he's not going to do that, never really has indicated that he wants to step aside. So we're going to lay that evidence out for the senators, and they're going to make their individual choices.
Now, against that backdrop, here comes Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat in New York, who will head up the additional acts of impeachment in the Senate, reminding you, the House can issue orders of impeachment and impeach. It's like a grand jury that comes together and releases an indictment against someone. But then the case has to be heard in front of a judge or a court for a ruling. The Supreme, in this case, I should say, the U.S. Senate serves as the judge and jury. So you gave us an indictment against Mayorkas, but Schumer's already said, not going to hold a trial. We're not even going to listen to it. And McClintock, one of the Republicans who voted against doing this, blasted impeachment as a political effort not backed up by evidence. In a memo, he said the articles, as they describe them, stretch and distort the Constitution, and warned we're headed for repudiation in the Senate. They might also add revenge in the future. So that's why he says he voted against it. The actual reading of the impeachment, Mayorkas has demonstrated he will remain a threat to national and border security and acted in a manner grossly incompatible, I should say, with his duties and rule of law. Then they have this part, which I think could certainly be proven. He's accused of false statements to Congress and obstructing oversight from Congress. But what will happen with it? The only other time we've had an impeachment of a cabinet member was in 1876. William Belknap, secretary in the administration under Ulysses Grant. Belknap was a former Iowa state legislator and Civil War general. He held his cabinet post for nearly 8 years. Belknap was famous for extravagant parties attended by first and second wives. That must have been a hell of a party. Many question how he managed such a grand lifestyle on his government salary of $8,000. Then questions began to come up, and then they began to realize, you know, maybe he was stealing money and things intended for the government, using them for personal purpose. That was the impeachment, but it did not go through the Senate. I mean, it ended up rendering a majority vote against him on all five articles, but this is after he left office. Coming up, Bob Alinsky speaking to the House.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Question, do you know what vermiculite is? It is an insulation in the attics of hundreds of thousands of homes and public buildings. Looks like kitty litter, but often contains asbestos. Wellington Environmental is the largest company in the Midwest that can remove that hazard for you. Wellington has what is called the General, a powerful industrial vacuum that can suck vermiculite out of the attic. Hang on, there's something else you should know. Many of you might qualify for up to a $4,000 rebate. You should at least contact Wellington to see if you qualify. And here's something else. Wellington arrives at the time they give you, not sometime within 4 hours. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very exciting what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local and
global. People, this is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local, really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9, 94.1,
and News Talk STL.
Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield has some great events coming up this month. Here's one to mark on your calendar. Feb 15, Scott B. and Cardi from STL Cigars will be hand-rolling smokes right there in front of you. Feb 15, plus Stolock whiskey tasting, all happening at Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield. I'm often in for a smoke. If I'm there, make a point to introduce yourself. And for more events, follow Lit Cigar Lounge Facebook.
Hey, St. Louis, my name is Rob Carter. My new primetime show will explore the collaboration between corrupt media and our corrupted political system. From manipulated elections, open borders, mandated medicines, and unconstitutional lockdowns, what is going on?
The Rob Carter Show.
Let's talk about it on The Rob Carter Show. Join me weeknights from 8 to 10 p.m. on News Talk STL.
Rob Carter, live and local, weeknights at 8 on News Talk STL. This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm making the statement to set the record straight about the involvement of the Biden family, Vice President Biden, his brother Jim Biden, and his son Hunter Biden in dealings with the Chinese. I've heard Joe Biden say that he's never discussed business with Hunter. That is false. I have firsthand knowledge about this because I directly dealt with the Biden family, including Joe Biden. And everything I'm saying is corroborated by emails, WhatsApp chats, agreements, documents, and other evidence. I was told this past Sunday by somebody who was also involved in this matter that if I went public this information, it would bury all of us, man, the Bidens included. I have no wish to bury anyone. I've never been political. The few contributions I have made have been to Democrats. But what I am is a patriot and a veteran.
Those are the words of Tony Bobulinski, Hunter Biden's partner, and others in some of the Chinese energy deals. And that statement was made 3 years ago. Now, today, Bobulinski has been behind closed doors of a House committee investigating Hunter Biden. And, of course, Joe Biden and any ties he had, and obviously looking for any impeachment possibilities. Joe Biden had constantly maintained that he knew nothing about Hunter and his business dealings. Didn't even know the people he was dealing with. And yet there are photographs of him actually playing golf with some of them and doing other things. Maybe that would be the defense in this case as well. Incompetent to stand impeachment trial if they come up with that. Quite honestly, let's stop and think about this for one moment. One moment. If Robert Hur, in a five-hour interview with Biden regarding classified documents, mishandling them, concludes, whether or not you agree with him, concludes that Biden did mishandle them, you accept that or not? Let's say you do accept it. And he also adds, but we're not filing charges. Why would you not file charges on someone you know committed federal crime? mishandling classified documents because he would be seen and to a jury, a judge, as a doddling old man and get sympathy, not justice. If you buy those two stories in, well then, how then would it affect Joe Biden in an impeachment? Even if the House issues impeachment against Joe Biden, it has to go to the Senate for the confirmation, as we were talking in previously referenced Mayorkas. One, the Senate is not likely to do it. And two, first line of defense, the very paper they're denying and saying is bad, that her claimed Biden is incompetent, that'll be their first line of defense. He's incompetent. Here's his document presented previously. But Bob Alinsky, and the way he was describing meeting Joe Biden in the lobby of the Beverly Hilton Hotel in May 2017 to discuss business with CEFC, that's a Chinese energy company, closely linked to the Chinese Communist Party, and became a whistleblower. And that's why he came forward 3 years ago and is today been spending time behind closed doors with House investigators and bipartisan panels questioning him. Bob Alinsky talked 3 years ago now. This is not from today's testimony. 3 years ago, but let me take one moment to say, he could have lied everything he said 3 years ago, lied to you, the American public. That's not a crime, unfortunately. That's not a crime. But if those were lies then, he says the same under oath, and they can be proven to be lies, then he is in deep you-know-what. All right, so let's go to Bob Alinsky when he said, I was first pulled into this shenanigans.
In late 2015, I was approached by James Gillier, whom I had known for many years, about joining him in a deal which he said would involve the Chinese state-owned enterprise, CEFC China Energy, and what he called one of the most prominent families in the United States. I was informed first by Gillier, and then by Hunter Biden, and by Rob Walker, who was working with the Bidens, that the Bidens wanted to form a new entity with CEFC, which was to invest in infrastructure, real estate, and technology in the U.S. and around the world. And the entity would initially be capitalized with $10 million and then grow to billions of dollars of investment capital.
Now, that's a pretty big deal, right? And he mentioned Walker. Suspicious activity reports issued by banks, SARs, were obtained by House Republicans, and they do show that Hunter Biden's business partner, Rob Walker, got a $3 million wire transfer from this Chinese energy company in 2017. And in turn, after he got that, four Biden family members, Hunter, James, Joe Biden's brother, and Hallie, the widow of Bo Biden, now apparently connected to Hunter, and then an unidentified Biden, got a collective $1.3 million cut. That's what the bank records show. That's pretty hard to dispute, isn't it? But then this issue about Joe Biden maintaining, quote, plausible deniability at every step. I never met with any of Hunter's business partners. I didn't know anything about anything. And what do you call that thing, China? I don't know about that either. Well, Bob Alinsky has a different story.
On May 2nd, 2017, the night before Joe Biden was to appear at the Milken Conference, I was introduced to Joe Biden by Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. At my approximately hour-long meeting with Joe that night, we discussed the Biden's history, the Biden's family business plans with the Chinese, with which he was plainly familiar, at least at a high level. After that meeting, I had numerous communications with Hunter, Walker, Gillier, and Jim Biden regarding the allocation of the equity ownership of Sinohawk. On May 13, 2017, I received an email concerning allocation of equity, which says 10% held by H for the big guy. In that email, there's no question that H stands for Hunter, big guy for his father, Joe Biden, and Jim for Jim Biden. In fact, Hunter often referred to his father as the big guy or my chairman.
My chairman, as in Chinese premier, my chairman. All right, I'm joking around a little bit, but the fact that you use the term my chairman kind of rankles me a bit. What about you? But it was the big guy. And who was the fourth person that got a cut of that money I described earlier? Didn't say the big guy, just an unidentified Biden. But Bob Alinsky, despite that meeting and despite having contact with Joe Biden directly, and that he had obviously a very acute knowledge of what was going on, there was basically, I wouldn't call it a threat, but something that said you better keep on alert.
On numerous occasions, it was made clear to me that Joe Biden's involvement was not to be mentioned in writing, but only face to face. In fact, I was advised by Gilliar and Walker that Hunter and Jim Biden were paranoid about keeping Joe Biden's involvement secret. I also had a disagreement with Hunter about the funds CFC was contributing to Sinohawk. Hunter wanted $5 million of those funds to go to himself and his family, so he wanted the funds wired directly to an entity affiliated with him. I objected because that was contrary to our written agreements concerning Sinohawk. He said, referring to the chairman, his father, that CFC was really investing in the Biden family, that he held the Trump card, and that he was the one putting his family legacy on the line. He also said to me on May 17th, 2017, that CFC wanted to be my partner, to be partner with the Bidens. During these negotiations, I repeated to Hunter and others that Sinohawk could not be Hunter's personal piggy bank. And I demanded that proper corporate governance procedures be implemented for capital distributions. Hunter became very upset with me. CFC through July 2017 was assuring me the funds would be transferred to Sinohawk, but they were never sent to our company. Instead, I found out from Senator Johnson's September report that the $5 million was sent in August 2017 to entities affiliated with Hunter.
Coinky dinky, huh? Sinohawk, by the way, Sino was standing for Sino relations with China. Hawk, Bo Biden, Hunter's brother, the hawk was his favorite animal, so they gave, I guess, tribute by putting his name on what has now become a slander, a scandal. Now, again, what you were hearing was what Bob Alinsky said 3 years ago to members of the press. Today, what he's saying behind closed doors of the House could be the same and are more detailed, or maybe some details and information would change. He will be back in front of the full House in a public hearing in the future, now that they get this deposition done behind closed doors. Coming up, three different items we need to focus on. One, again, are we facing a serious national security, or is it a hoax and something just being puffed up? And two, the U.S. Intel Committee apparently was asking other governments to spy on Trump's aides. We got a lot to cover still.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I'm always glad to have new sponsors, but I have turned some down. See, I only endorse clients if I believe in them. And I've been a spokesman for John Beal for 10 years. Through those years, listeners said they went with John Beal because they trusted me. And just recently, a woman named Mary wrote, "We got a John Beal roof based on your recommendation." Thank you, Mary, and all the others for calling John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Sometimes you want to do something extra special for someone. Vincent's Jewelers can help you. Maybe you want to do something for yourself. Mark a date, something you accomplished. It doesn't have to be anything really expensive, but it has to mean something now and for the future. Vincent's, locally owned, just asked for the chance to work with you, as they have with me. On Olive, just east of 270. Every day, new specials at vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I have a personal story about why I trust McGuire Moving and Storage. A relative needed to escape an unhealthy relationship. Josh, Christine, and the McGuire team were understanding, even comforting. That's why I'm honored to endorse McGuire. Since 1935, McGuire's been moving and caring for families. So, moving a home, office, local, or long distance, McGuireMoving.com. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you. I've been hanging on the phone. I've been sleeping all alone. I won't kiss you.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I should point out for you that FBI Director Wray did make a surprise visit and stop in Israel on his way to Germany for some terrorist talks and discussions about world security. So FBI Director Wray visiting Israel for the first time since October 7. And he did speak to Fox News before boarding a plane to leave for Germany. We'll be speaking tomorrow. And he basically said, we've seen a rogues gallery of foreign terrorist organizations, both expressing support and praise for the Hamas attacks and threatening to attack U.S. interests at home and abroad. So we're working with all of our partners to confront the possible threat and deal with it as it begins to elevate. So I just thought I should bring you up to speed on that in case you missed it somewhere along the day. And then two other things I want to get into for you. One is what I've been discussing for the last 2 hours off and on. And bringing it up again at this point in the program, you might think, Larry's bearing the lead. This should have been the lead story. Well, there are a lot of facts still missing in this story. I could go with the bulletin, serious national security threat, but I don't know if it is or isn't at this point. And it'll take hours, if not days, to really get to the bottom of it, because here's the way this came out. First of all, it came from House Intel Committee Chairman Mike Turner, Republican of Ohio. He is a member of the Gang of Eight. Now, the eight would be the top leaders of each party in each house. They get eyes-only intel sometimes. They're not to be sharing it, not to be discussing it. So some could say if he's coming out saying, we just got briefed on a serious national security threat, some could immediately say, well, you're breaking your pledge and your honor and what you should be doing. He didn't give details, did not give any details. He just said in a piece he wrote, by the way, a short cryptic statement, as it's added, Today, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intel has made available to all members of Congress information concerning a serious national security threat. Didn't say what, did he? He did add, I am requesting that President Biden declassify all information relating to this threat so that Congress, the administration, and our allies can openly discuss the actions necessary to respond to this threat. Now, he's making that announcement today, the same day that Christopher Wray is in Israel before going on to Germany. I don't know if there's a tie to that or not, but one Democrat source familiar with the threat telling NBC News, quote, this is a serious issue that could lead to a destabilizing situation and a national security threat, even describing it as a potential foreign threat. Yet others are downplaying this, saying it's not what they're suggesting. It's sensitive, but it's not over the top. It is not the threat that you might assume. But Turner is again asking President Joe Biden declassify all information relating to this threat. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan admitted that he had reached out to the Gang of Eight to bring them up on a personal briefing on this. He said, so I'm a bit surprised that Congressman Turner came out publicly in advance of the meeting on the books for me to go all along with him alongside our intel and defense professionals. So he said, I'm looking forward tomorrow to sitting down with the congressman. And again, Jake Sullivan also did not elaborate on the nature of the threat. He did emphasize the Biden administration is, quote, again, according to Jake Sullivan, who had been briefing others on this, Jake Sullivan stating as National Security Advisor, the Biden administration has, quote, gone further and in more creative, more strategic ways, dealt with declassification of intel in the national interest of the U.S. than any administration in history. I have a hard time buying that one, Jake. Take it down the street and see if you can sell it, but I'm not buying that one. Then there's one other thing I want to get to before I go to what some are considering an international threat being pushed against by our government to attack a political candidate. You want to guess who the candidate was? Oh, you're ahead of me. You already guessed it. But before that, here's another case. Three separate prosecutors reportedly met with White House aides before they decided to indict former President Donald Trump. So, what are the facts? Well, according to this, we're dealing with the cases. Prosecutors Alvin Bragg of New York, who's been dealing with that Stormy Daniels case, a state case. Jack Smith of Miami, dealing with classified documents mishandling case, a federal case. Very similar to how Joe Biden was mishandling classified documents. And then Fannie Willis, Fulton County, Georgia, on a state charge. But here's what happened behind the scenes. All three of them are shown on White House logs as meeting at the White House and apparently directly with Biden before they came out with their indictments against him, against Donald Trump. If that doesn't smell fishy to you, yeah, you must be buying sushi at a gasoline station, which I don't recommend you do. March 17, 2023, Alvin Bragg of New York asked for a meeting with federal law enforcement ahead of the Trump indictment. A year earlier, he had hired a special senior Department of Justice official who spent years targeting Trump at the Justice Department. And then, of course, ends up going to the White House. And in fact, It's right there on the logs that he was in the White House. And the second case involving the documents and Jack Smith. June 8, 2023. The same day the FBI 1023 form surfaced claiming Joe Biden was bribed $5 million. Later in June, Jack Smith filed a superseding indictment in the case after Hunter Biden's sweetheart deal in Delaware fell apart. But months prior, a member of Biden's counsel, meeting with a top member of Jack Smith's team, just 9 weeks before he decided to indict Donald Trump. Third case out of Georgia, Fannie Fawnie Funny Willis. Months before that indictment, she met twice with the Biden White House counsel, May 23rd, November 18, 2022, a year before Trump was indicted. Why do they need to be meeting with a Biden White House counsel before indicting Donald Trump? Now, what actually took place in those meetings, what they discussed? Again, speculation, but I'll bet it began with T, which could stand for trick, which it probably was, could stand for tango lessons. I doubt that was there. Let me see. Could stand for trouble. Yeah. Trump. And you get the picture. Now, here's another story that's catching a lot of attention. This is journalist Michael Schellenberger and a couple others writing in a Substack about a story that broke late last night, and more was being and has been unveiled today, but still there are a lot of questions about it. It says the CIA had foreign spies, let me correct that, foreign allies spy on the Trump team to trigger the Russian collusion hoax. They're claiming, Schellenberger and those helping him, multiple credible sources that the U.S. CIA and the intel community, IC, CIA would be part of that, illegally mobilized foreign intel agencies to target any advisors to Donald Trump before the summer of 2016. Before the summer. And in his Substack article, Schellenberger said, until now the official story has been the FBI investigation began after Australian intel officials told U.S. officials a Trump aide had boasted to an Australian diplomat Russia had damning material about Democrat candidate Hillary Clinton. And therefore they launched the Crossfire Hurricane. And going after Trump to prove that the Russians were working with him to beat Hillary Clinton. You know what this is saying? That they got other countries known as the Five Eyes Intel Group to bump into various Trump members' connections and began to get information from them, or at least to bump into them to make acquaintances. Now, when I say bump in, it's not just casually bumping into you and walking away. They're in the process of gathering information and intel. Five Eyes include the countries that we all supposedly look out for each other, UK, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia, and of course the U.S. According to the article, and this as it's written, I'm reading it word for word, I'm not making anything up here. President Barack Obama's CIA director, John Brennan, had identified 26 Trump associates for the Five Eyes to target. And let me remind you again, the Five Eyes are reference to all the intel operations in the U.S., the United Kingdom, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia, that they were all looking for ways to dismantle Trump, and that Brennan identified 26 Trump associates they should really get in contact with to, quote, bump or make contact with or manipulate. And he said these individuals were, quote, targets of our own IC, our intel community, and law enforcement, and targets for collection and misinformation. One source close to the investigation reportedly told the team of journalists, and again, this is a quote, and it just makes you think, my God, how deep does this go? We're not talking about deep state. We're talking about deep world at this point. They were making contacts and bumping Trump people going back to March 2016. They were sending people around the UK, Australia, Italy. The Mossad in Italy went in. M16 working at an intelligence school that they set up just so they could entrap, basically. It doesn't say that, but that's what it amounts to. Anybody they thought might be harmful to Trump in some way. And Schellenberger, Tabi, and Gutentag, all contributing to this report, claim, quote, unknown details about the FBI's investigation of the Trump campaign and raw intel related to the IC surveillance of the Trump campaign are in a 10-inch binder Trump ordered to be declassified at the end of his term. Well, now, where is that binder? Supposedly a blue binder. No one apparently can find it. They would have all the details of what I just went through here. According to the sources, it reported to Schellenberger and the others. Which brings the question up. The Mar-a-Lago raid was not to go in and check on classified documents and how they were maybe being improperly stored. First of all, the president has the authority. He's the only one who has the authority to say, everything collected during my term or at any point dealing with UFOs or whatever it would be is declassified. It's all open to the public. Trump said he had done that, but then he did apparently talk to a reporter at Mar-a-Lago and say, well, I've got a classified document here I could show you. Maybe he misspoke. Joe Biden claims he misspoke when he used the term classified, saying, well, I'm in a privileged conversation, not classified. But if that's true, they were going into Mar-a-Lago, going through those files, not really looking for any violations of mishandling classified intel. They were looking for that blue binder, the one that would prove the CIA, or let me put it this way, our entire intelligence community was involved in creating a scandal linking falsely Russians to Trump to win the election. And they want to claim that Trump is a threat to democracy and our republic. That is the highest level of our intel community coming together and saying, we're going to find a way to get this guy out of the way, short of a bullet in the head. And we're going to get other countries involved claiming that he's a threat to the world and their nation as well. There'll be more coming up on this. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.